Hi there, this is Jess Lamar Reese-Holler, and this is part two, speaking with Molly Dash here on the 4th of July in Catskill, New York, 2016. So Molly, before the recorder unceremoniously decided to tell us the card was full when it wasn't, you were telling me about a lucky find, a really amazing box of yarn.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, so as I was working on starting to work more on my cord and yarn projects, you know, I've still been pretty broke since the flood these last few years, don't have much money. And so basically I had bought like three skeins of the cheapest yarn I could find, acrylic yarn. It wasn't so attractive. And then my friend found this box of yarn by the side of the road, like someone had had a yard sale and then just left it for free. And she scooped it up knowing that someone would want this yarn. And it ended up being this box of beautiful wool, mohair, like these beautiful soft yarns, so many colors, like combination color yarns, you know, like just insane things I've never seen before because I could never afford to go into a yarn shop and buy these things. And someone just left it, and I ended up with this huge stash of beautiful yarns, and I've been using them a lot in my projects, so it was great. That was a great thing that happened.
I'm wondering if you could tell me more about the community you have here in Catskill.
Oh, sure.
Artistic or otherwise.
Yeah. It's interesting. This summer, things are really starting to click for a lot of people in Catskill. I mean, like I said earlier, upstate, being a rural area, has had some real huge economic downfall through the second half of the 20th century. And people have apparently, you know, come and gone. People have tried to make these little villages and towns better, more get the economy going, but it's been the victim of, you know, the Walmart effect. There's little else, you know, few places you can shop around here. And so basically when Brian and I came in 2013, in the fall of 2013, it was pretty empty here. There were lots of closed storefronts. And in the last few years, we've seen people come and go, try to have a business, close up shop. And then within the last, I don't know, the beginning, maybe since the beginning of this year, things have started to turn a little bit where, and this is happening all over the Hudson Valley, where things are starting to stick a little better. You're seeing people come in with a little bit better knowledge of how to run a business. And we kind of get a continual flow of people from New York City, but also people who have lived all over in different places. And the artist community in Catskill is getting to be very strong, very cohesive, I guess in terms of like friendships that are established and coalitions and cooperation. And, you know, we have friends who have farms out, you know, 10 miles outside the village, and artist residencies, and people have gardens where they share their food, and people are always helping each other out with all kinds of little tasks and projects that need to be done, renovating houses. We have a friend who is living at a friend of ours. Another friend of ours bought a house a few months ago in the village, and he is living there rent-free in exchange for work he's doing on the house. So there's a lot of that type of stuff going on, cooperation, that's, you know, hopefully helping all of us. You know, we're all kind of like poor starving artists for one reason or another. You know, I think Brian and I aren't unique in that we found like Catskill to be a refuge, that lots of our friends also have been through some difficult things. And it's amazing. I've had so many different thoughts about Catskill because it can get you down at times. There can be a negativity around here, or kind of people, a little bit of defeatism where people have seen so much come and go that they start to, you know, feel like nothing's ever going to work here. And you can easily get sucked into those conversations, you know, and think that it's just, this is a weird little village. But definitely we're feeling some more positive energy flows going on this summer. So it's pretty exciting. It's kind of great.
Can you tell me about some of those positive flows?
Sure. Magpie Bookshop, which is owned by our friend Christy Gibson.
We talked with her. Justin, I got to sit in the room.
She came to Catskill because her parents had retired here, and they convinced her to come move. She was living in Connecticut, wasn't really happy with it. She was teaching, and, you know, she's a very literate person, and she, with her parents, they bought a building on Main Street and have opened this wonderful used bookstore, and where everything she picks, she has a great taste and eye for books, and she creates just a wonderful collection of books, good prices, and she has events there. She hosts this ukulele camp on the weekends where this awesome guy, Carmen Borgia, gives ukulele lessons, and people come and play the uke and learn how to play. And she also hosts music events like concerts and stuff. Right now, they are expanding into the second floor. So the bookstore is going to be two floors, and that's going to be happening really soon. It's been a months-long renovation that's been going on. So Christy has been a real driving force in, I think, the shifting of the village, and also just a stable force where her business is open and people come in and they buy stuff. And, you know, because we see so much of this, like, you'll see a business and when are their hours? When are they open? Who's, you know, and she's been very a good driving force in this community. We have Matt Bua, who is my partner in the mapping project, and he's been coming to Catskill he lived in Catskill Village, now lives out in the town of Catskill, but he's been coming up here from Brooklyn for a long time, and he's just a very creative person who collaborates with a lot of people on projects all the time. He's builder, he's a fine artist, does these kind of cartoon panel like detailed drawings with lots of words and writing, and he's very much interested in history and the history of Greene County and Catskill, and he writes books, and he's, you know, so you've got people like that. We've got the Catskill Maker Syndicate, where we're recording from today, which is something started by my partner Brian Lawis and me and some other people, Albert Flores. And the idea is to make a shared workspace where, with Brian and Albert and some other people's knowledge of computers, programming, tech, electronics, that they can work on their own projects and their own little ideas and inventions, and then invite other people in to work on things and learn. And then we have a Tech Tuesday event where people can come with any kind of tech question or start to come with a project idea. We also, also have a nice little reference library that we're building where Brian and I find all kinds of books from, you know, book sales, barn sales, library sales, thrift stores. And the idea is to, you know, find a book you can look up a how-to. We have home improvement. We have books on crafts and art and plumbing and electronics and anything that's a valuable reference book, even some history books and stuff. So, yeah, there's some good stuff going on here.
I'm curious how other community members have received the Maker Syndicate.
Definitely with a bit of curiosity. we're attracting some very smart people and people coming out of the woodwork. Brian's done a good bit of social media, reaching out beyond Catskill and Greene County to draw people from the larger area. And, you know, this is an area where people kind of come for refuge or come to leave New York City or whatever. So you'll find people who have these interesting pasts and things they've done. And so it's a combination of trying to, like, draw the local Catskillians in who can be rather conservative, and then also just know that you've got your artist community and there are people you're going to meet who are going to be interested in coming here and learning about it.
I'm curious, I've heard you say twice now that Catskill can be or has been for you a refuge. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could say more about what this place means to you as a refuge.
Or what it means, or how it is a refuge, or yeah. I mean, I guess in the sense that people in the country tend to be very welcoming. Like, even if they might not have the same political view as you or come from the same background, people welcome people. They tend to be very friendly, and you know, that's what I think helps to make it a refuge. Also, that the plus side of a down economy is that rents are less expensive here. So that's another part of it. And then also that when you live in the country, you have so much more opportunity to just live off the land, with the land, use natural resources here. So things you wouldn't be able to do in a more urban environment, you're going to get free vegetables from a friend who's got too much in her garden, or you're going to get wood. Someone has too much wood from a project that they need to get rid of because they have nowhere to store it. So in that sense too, you're not as monetarily dependent upon, you know, you're not as dependent upon money as you are when you live in a more urban setting. And people do have the trade-off too of not having as much money is that you have more time. So you have more time to help people and work on interesting projects.
Has your lifestyle changed moving here from living in Brooklyn?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think I was aiming towards that homesteading lifestyle when I lived in Brooklyn. But, you know, basic things of living in a city versus the country, like you have to own a car here, you know, which was something I didn't like. I didn't want to do that, but you kind of have to. So that might be the only thing. And maybe not the only thing, but one of the things that you have to get beyond if you don't like owning a car, or maybe just knowing that things take longer here, that things happen super fast in New York City. You're going to make connections. You're going to get it. You're going to get work. You're going to get like everything very fast. And there's a lot of very competent, intelligent people in New York City. Not to say that there aren't in the country, but just it's a different thing. People are more slow paced, and you know, that you have to have patience when you live here. You really have to have patience and know that like things are going to improve, things are going to get better. And sometimes just patience for people who, you know, might be business people who you're trying to work with, and they don't come from that urban setting where they need to do everything fast, you know, so. Or there might be glitches, or there might be, you know. So, yeah, you do change. I think you do get more patient, less. New York City is extremely style conscious, status conscious, all that. That kind of goes away. Not important anymore. There's a huge blending of ages. Like you'll have friends from huge different age ranges when you live in the country, which might not happen in the city. You might have more people who are around your age group, families, people with kids, single parents, people who are in the process of a separation or a divorce, or whatever. Like there's just a lot of kind of a larger family grows out of living up here.
I'm wondering too what your sense of the relationship is like between folks who are newer to Catskill and longtime residents.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
I'm curious what the relationship is like between newcomers to Catskill, folks who have maybe lived here for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, just coming, and long-term residents, what that dynamic is like, if there is one.
Well, like I said, yeah, people are friendlier than I think city people assume they're going to be. So sometimes I hear about this divide from some of the more city people, which I don't really feel. I don't feel that. I feel more, and then something else you learn is that even if someone seems really country or seems like, then you find out that like maybe they came from New York City decades ago, or maybe their parents came from New York City. So it's not as big of a divide as you might think. And I think that what I'm noticing now is more a difference in, now that we've been here, you know, coming up on 3 years, how I view total newcomers here who are coming from Brooklyn usually or whatever. That's what I notice now, is like, you know, that kind of people can be a little patient or think that what they do in the city is going to apply in the country, and it might not apply. It might not be the best idea, or, you know, not everything works here. It's hard. It's tough. It's tough to make business things stick and have enough people to support what you're doing and make money in that way. But we're all working on it.
That's what I wanted to ask you. What are some of the biggest challenges you're facing right now living in Catskill?
Maybe I'm going to contradict what I just said, because there is, from the locals, there is a sense that, like, we don't need to change anything here. It's fine as it is, you know? And we'll come in as newcomers and be like, what's wrong with this? Why are you not doing this? Why, you know,
Can you give me an example of something that is, you feel like might be wrong, that people aren't moving, they're being pokey about?
Sure. This is a big, in relation to the mapping project I'm working on, is there is a beautiful trail in Catskill, a beautiful woodland trail along the Hudson River that was opened by community members in 1996, as far as I know. And we think around maybe somewhere between like 2008, 2010, sections of the trail started being fenced off, blocked by neighbors who live uphill from the trail. And this is something that I'm trying to get information about. I'm trying to find out, what's the real story? Why did this happen? Can we get the trail back open, please? We'd love to use this trail. It's a beautiful trail. And it's weird how people don't want to talk about it. It makes them uncomfortable. And it's not just people who have lived here a long time. It's some of the people who have lived here the same length of time we have. They're just more conscious of social navigation. And, my guess is that, you know, it's not hard to see. It's like the people who live uphill from the trail have more money. There's a like an old age home or a retirement home, and there's a certain social thing where people feel uncomfortable saying something to wealthy people, like, you know. So, and I find that too. We have not, like, as a group or the mapping project, we're thinking about approaching some of these people. We haven't done it yet. We're trying to figure out how to get this trail open back up. And I always think of examples of, I love to look at other Hudson Valley villages that have these beautiful walking trails right in their village, and say, well, if they can do it, why can't we do it? Why does there have to be this weird stigma where there's a trail, but you'll hear the excuses like, well, you know, it's because the kids ruin it. And yeah, there's a little vandalism, but vandalism happens everywhere. And if we close down every park because of vandalism, we wouldn't have any parks. So basically, it's something that you handle, put up signs, put up trash cans if you think there's a litter problem, make some trail rules, and just, you know, monitor the trail and make sure it's good. And, you know, so there's that kind of thing where, I don't know, I got a little lost in what I was saying, but yeah, that's my major project right now, where I'm, not my major project, but the thing that I would love to see a change in Catskill, in terms of like people understanding the assets of Catskill, and not just thinking that either it has to be a tourist destination, or it has to, or all we deserve is a Walmart, you know, but that it can be a livable place where people have a nice nature trail right in the village, you know, good shops where you can buy what you need here and have some good food, and, you know, we can have things that some of the wealthier counties like Columbia County have and Ulster County, and not think like, oh, we're this kind of rural, poor village, so we can't have those things or whatever. Like, I think everyone deserves to have those things, you know.
What sort of public spaces exist in the village or the county right now that matter to you? Are there any?
In the county, I mean, like I said, it's not as far along as like Columbia County, for example, has land conservancies, and they put a lot of work into making sure that there are nice public spaces for people to walk around, and they're volunteer run and nonprofits, and they, you know. We don't have a whole lot of that in Greene County. We have a few nature preserves that are part of a larger system called Scenic Hudson, which is based in Poughkeepsie. And we actually have one of their trails in Catskill. It's not as close to the main part of the village as the river walk that I refer to, but it's called Ramshorn Livingston Sanctuary, and it is within walking distance from the village. It's very close. So we have a little bit of that. We're lucky that Greene County is part of the Catskill Mountain Range, so we have access to the state forest trails that are right in Greene County, which are wonderful. But I would like to see Greene County come further along with that type of thing and take care of our natural assets. And we have so much of it. There's so much, you know, land trusts are constantly buying up former farmland. We still have plenty of farms, but there are plenty of farms that are non-operational. And those make great nature preserves and things like that. So it would be great if we could get to the level that Columbia County is at with their awareness of the importance of these types of things.
Sounds like there's a comparison there too between Greene and Columbia that exists.
For sure. Like, we're considered kind of sister counties in that we share some resources. Like, we share the community college. We need to go to Hudson, the city of Hudson, for things. Like, we don't have as much shopping and services over here in Catskill like they do in Hudson. So we definitely rely more on Columbia County than they do on us. But I think that in Columbia County, and people in Hudson in particular, are starting to realize what a vibrant artist community is developing in Catskill. So that's a good thing.
Could you tell me about the Catskill Mapping Project and
sure.
how it speaks to some of these themes?
Sure. So the project actually came out of conversations that I wasn't even a part of at first, and about these types of things, about trails being blocked, pathways, walkways being blocked, whatever. And Matt Bua, when Brian and I were deciding to start up the makerspace, we just invited a couple of friends to talk about it with us. And Matt was one of the people who came along, and he came with a project idea. And his project idea was turned into the mapping project. So we thought if we could get this, some of these trail blockages and closings, and there were some other things that he had brought up, because Matt's been working on numerous projects in Catskill Village for years, and he's run up against some of the same things where people will decide, well, we don't want this, we're going to shut it down, we're going to whatever. So, he came with this idea, and we thought if we could create awareness through visual means, that might be a way of getting the conversation started. So, through the mapping project, it's a really simple idea. It's just we've drawn up some blank maps that have no street names on them, and you can fill in the map with it whatever you want and make your own unique map. So my focus for my map is, of course, I'm doing the walking trails, the paths, the footpaths, the blockages, the broken sidewalks, the, you know, closed off trails and all that. And Matt is, you know, deeply interested in the history of Catskill and Greene County, so he's doing a past, present, future map. He does a lot of hand brush work with pen, with ink and a brush, so he's doing that type of thing. Brian is doing a transportation map where he traces the history of the various transportation means that were available in Catskill at one point, because Catskill was a bustling port town at one point. It's right on the Hudson River. It had we had a train that came to Catskill. We had, you know, there were steamships. There was all kinds of transportation. You know, people were on foot and on horse and on whatever. And now you basically got the automobile. It's a type of project where it's open ended. It's you can use the project however you like. But our focus that we're coming from is like trying to address some of these little issues with Catskill and try to bring them to the forefront.
How has that been received?
The Do you mean the issues or the project itself? Like trying to bring issues to the forefront?
Maybe a little bit of both. I had meant the project itself, but I'm curious if people if you found that people are recognizing some of the conversations around public spaces and barriers that you all had intended when you launched it.
I'm getting a lot of both support and then the same kind of defeatist attitude that I've gotten all along from certain people in the village, but I'm also getting the great part is I'm reaching so many more people who didn't know about it or maybe had the same experience as us where they saw the trail marker maps and the signs and all the great stuff and they didn't know, why is this trail blocked off? So it's helping to answer some questions for people who had similar questions as we did. And that's encouraging. I want to meet as many people as I possibly can who are in support of opening a trail back up. And then the mapping project as a whole is it's been really fun. I want to reach more people with it, and that's what we're trying to do through having these mapping sessions and inviting the public to come and make their own maps. So
What might happen in an average mapping session?
a lot of conversation, looking at maps. Brian, Matt, and I will bring our maps. We've done some large scale maps that are kind of poster size that we're working on, and then we also have some group maps where anyone can add to the group map. So mapping session is pretty much like we post our maps or we'll put them on the table, and it starts some kind of conversation. We get people who are very curious. Or people come with their own maps in progress and they work on them when there's a mapping session.
Did you have a relationship to mapping work before being involved with this project as a kid or in art school?
Actually, in art school, that's interesting. I kind of did. I created a few etchings that were based on maps, but I made them very abstract. I kind of just took a map. Outlines of major streets, and then I would kind of fill it in with abstract details. My dad was really into maps. He was really into geography, and when we would travel on a car trip, he would. I didn't. I learned this one morning. We were in a motel room, and I woke up early. I saw a light in the bathroom. And I wonder what was going on, and I heard paper being. And I was like, "What's going on there?" My dad. I learned that my dad would get up early before everyone else because he always got up early and study the map, go into the bathroom and turn the light on and study the map. So he was very smart, very stubborn, and would like get very angry if he made a mistake. So he would just do all this like memorization of the route and studying and memorization, but refused to look at the map after he got in the car. It's like a pride thing. So yeah, I think there's definitely, it might come a little bit from that, but I wasn't thinking specifically about mapping when Matt brought this project idea up.
What are some other kinds of things happening in the maker space that are important for you?
As far as like projects go, there is a really interesting man named Tom Ditto, who is an inventor. He's a tech guy. I don't know if you call him a tech guy, but I mean, he's of a previous generation, so he knows some different things than current tech things about using like smart devices and stuff. But he has more of an older knowledge of like, video and like video art and inventions and patents and all this stuff. So he's been coming to the Tech Tuesdays. He has this invention that he is working on that he needed a little technical expertise, programming expertise with. And he's working with a few different people to develop this project that is a kind of a 3D, like an in 3D input device that's on a ring. So you would wave your hand in the air and collect input and be able to translate it to something you might be doing on a computer.
Can you give me an example of like when that would come in handy?
Not
Because
really sure.
I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, I guess how a mouse is a 2D, two-dimensional input device or a trackpad. His idea is if you're going to do three-dimensional designing, that you might be able to input three-dimensionally and capture three dimensions in space through this input device.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of, it's related to having the 3D printer here, and we have a digital mill machine, CNC machine, that's in the process of being built because it's a really technical piece of equipment. But Brian was really interested in what sparked his curiosity in having a 3D printer was he gets frustrated that there are parts you can't find anymore, like when you're trying to fix old things or just, or even, you know, hardware stores don't stock the breadth of parts like they used to. So he thought, well, if I've got a 3D printer, I can make some of my own little parts. So the 3D printer we have was built from a kit. So it came flat packed. And all of the pieces you see were kind of stamped out of these large boards, particle board.
And that's it right there.
Yeah, that's the 3D printer. And Brian likes to keep it in the window so people can see the 3D printer.
How does membership in the Maker Syndicate work?
Right now, it's just basically like there's no charge as of yet because it's not established as an organization. It's just a loose collective of people who work here. So Brian works here, Albert works here, this guy named Cody works here. And it's Brian sharing his workspace with other people is the basic idea.
How do you guys run a space like this in Brooklyn or before?
No, other than running our store, we didn't run a shared workspace at all.
What are some of the things that are on the horizon for you guys in terms of your artwork or for you personally in your work?
I guess what I was saying before about expanding my artwork to be larger and more installation-based. And I think as my artwork grows and gets larger in size, then it will start to tell, like, I always feel like my artwork informs me. Like, I don't impose something on it. So as it develops, it'll start to tell me things, like the directions it wants to go, or maybe some kind of reference it's making or something. So
we are getting up upon our 1 hour mark. So I was just curious if there are any topics we haven't gotten to delve into that are important for you you'd like to speak to.
No, I think that's it.
anything else you'd like to share?
I don't think so. I think that it's pretty much covered like what's been going on over the last few years, and it's a lot of the stuff I've been talking about with other people too. So maybe I should add very quickly that the mapping project, we received a New York State Council on the Arts decentralization grant for the project. So we got a little bit of money to be able to print the brochures that we've made. We have these little brochures that have a blank map on the inside, and it also explains the project. And that was a wonderful thing because we are, I've never applied for an arts grant before, any kind of grant. And the organization that distributes the grants in Greene County is this great little community art gallery called Greene County Council on the Arts. And they're right on Main Street. And it's just a great thing to get this grant as a new grant recipient and have like the kind of like the approval of the village or the area that this is a worthwhile project.
What would you like to see for yourself in 5 years?
That question.
Here.
I would like to be supporting myself with my artwork. That's what I would like to see. I mean, for me personally, I want to see so much growth for all my friends too here and have everyone succeed in all the projects they're working on. But for myself, that would be a personal like triumph to be able to be supporting myself on my artwork and my various projects that are related to my artwork.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. Anything else?
You're welcome. I think that's it.
Let us get to our celebrating America. So once again, this has been a conversation with Molly Dash. I'm Jess Lamar Reese-Holler, and we are here at the Catskill Makers Syndicate in Catskill, New York. It's the 4th of July, 2016, and this recording is with the Oral History Summer School based in Hudson for the Hudson Area Oral History Archive. Thank you so much, Molly, and if you would just introduce yourself again to say goodbye.
Sure. Molly Dash, thanks a lot. It's been a wonderful experience. Thank you.
Thank you so much.